I don't know if you had a chance to listen to his last message that he preached. From faith to faith and glory to glory. Hallelujah. From faith to faith and glory to glory. I don't know how many times I've listened to that message this week, but to me, what he shared in that message really encapsulates everything that he's preached. Everything that he's preached for the last 55 years, every visitation he had, every mentor that he had, how the just shall live by faith, how you get faith, how you develop faith, how you declare faith, how you declare the glory of God, how you believe for prosperity and God's prosperity on your house, his goodness on your house, and having a no quit attitude and not giving up, not throwing in the towel. And I'm telling you, I am so grateful that he followed the call of God and answered the call of God, amen, upon his life. Are you grateful? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. And as hard as and challenging it is, even coming up and pulling in the back, and Annette goes, you know, he said, Dr. Savelle's parking place. I said, why'd you have to say that? I walked in the green room the other day and I was like, I just started crying. Kind of hit you out of nowhere, and so grateful. So grateful. I said this Wednesday night, and I remember talking to him and asking him a question is, you know, there's so many people, I watch so many people come up to him that would have needs and would say different things. And I said, Dr. what's the answer? What's the answer to people that are hurting? What's the answer to those things? And I remember, and I heard his voice when I was standing there Wednesday night while they're doing worship, and heard his voice say, Mark chapter 6. And I remember what his answer to me was. And so I read it Wednesday night, and it said that when Jesus looked out at the people, and it said he saw them with a sheep without a shepherd. I mean, they had no direction, they had no protection, they had no guidance, they didn't really know what direction to take or where to go next. And it said, and Jesus sat down, and it said he taught them the word. The answer is the word. And for Heritage of Faith, that will always be the answer and will continue to be answer on what we're called to do in this community, and that is preach the word. Amen. Preach the word, because it is the answer to everything. Why don't you go ahead and be seated? There's so many things I could share. Thank you, Valinda. Amen. If he was here today, he'd want us to have joy. Amen. If he was here today, he'd want us to have joy. And I'm just going to have a few scriptures here and just lay a foundation of what we're going to talk about today. And we got some videos that we can glean from. So open your hearts, because I believe even some things that he might have preached 50 years ago, I believe are still, the anointing is still upon them. And I believe, even though he was supposed to minister here today, I believe some things that he preached 55 years ago that we'll watch a few videos here and there and some testimonies in between. But I believe the anointing that was upon him then is just as strong today. Amen. And I believe you need healing. I believe it will happen today. I believe if you need wisdom, it's going to happen today. I believe if you need breakthrough, it's going to happen today. Amen. Whether it's through testimonies, whether it's through the videos or whatever it is. Why? Because the word is anointed. Amen. In Psalms 84, and this was the last scripture that he used last Sunday evening in Visalia, California. Psalms 84. And I'm going to start in verse 10. For a day in your courts is better than 1,000. Man, what courts is he seeing today? A day in your courts is better than 1,000. I'd rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than to dwell in the tents of wickedness. Amen. When I read that, I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God. When I think of Dr. Savell, I think of man who served. When I think of Dr. Savell, I think of Acts chapter 13, where it said David, after he served his generation by the will of God. Yes. Amen. Dr. Savell served his generation. Next verse says, for the Lord God is a sun and a shield, and the Lord will give grace and glory. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. And he'd read the Amplified last week, and it says, for the Lord is a sun and shield. The Lord bestows present grace and favor and future glory, honor, splendor, and heavenly bliss. No good thing will he withhold from those that walk uprightly. Amen. A man that preached favor and a man that preached glory. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. So this morning, I want to go to a few other scriptures, and we'll start with the first video. But the first one is 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. You don't necessarily need to turn to them. They'll put them on the screen. And I'm just going to read them here. Thank you, Father, for grace today. It says, and we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you. Verse 13 says, and to esteem them very highly in love for their works' sake. Be at peace among yourselves. What is it saying here? It's saying recognize those who labored over you in the Lord. And it says, esteem them very, very highly in love for their work's sake. So here this morning, what we're doing is we're going to be acknowledging Dr. Savell. Why? For his work's sake. We're going to esteem him highly because of what God did through him and his obedience to surrender to God and walk out the call upon his life. Another scripture, 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 17. It says, let the elders who rule well be counted worthy. I believe him as an elder. I believe he operated well. That word well means to fully fulfill every duty. Hallelujah. With honesty, integrity, and uprightly. Amen. Let the elders who rule well. You're not going to meet a man that had more integrity than him, more honest than him, more upright than him, and one that was determined to fulfill the call upon his life. Let the elders who rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially those who labor in word and doctrine, in word and teaching. Amen. Today, we're going to honor him with double honor today because he labored among us and he did it with word and doctrine. And are you grateful? Yes. Are you grateful? Yes. Hallelujah. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 12, it says, let no one despise your youth, but be an example to the believers in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Dr. Savell was that example. And we have a model to follow. We have an example to follow of someone that conducted himself in the word, in his personal conduct, in his love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. I'm grateful that I can follow him like he followed Christ. Amen. Amen. And as a church, we will continue to follow his example in word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. You know, I remember traveling with him back in 2002, and we were going from church to church to church. We would go 21 days out of a month to different churches, and I'm just, his heart for God and how he just wouldn't be moved by things. And I'm not going to mention any names or anything about this, but watching how he handled situations. I remember being on the road with him, and he We went to this one church. We went to five different churches in a row, and he never would handle the offerings. He would never want to touch the offerings. He would say, "Don't give it to me. Give it to him." And I was the him. And so I would take care of the offerings and just make sure everything was secure, and would go through them. And at that time, we would count the offerings, not Dr. Sill and I, but I would count the offerings, and we would have to send a report back, because Joe would want a report. Joe's general manager and different things, so they want a report just so they can keep track of things. And depending on how long we were on the road, we may have to FedEx some things back or different things like that. And I remember this one church we went to. It was probably about 1,500 people in this church, and people brought their offerings forward, and they brought the offerings forward, and they laid them on the and it was full. And he also had some people that were close to him that said, Dr. Sill, we sowed this into your ministry. And he knew what it was, what they had sowed into him during that offering. And all of a sudden, I get the offerings, and he goes, he just wanted to know, what was the offering? And I said, it was $700. And he just kind of just smiled. He goes, well, praise the Lord. And he just thanked the Lord. And he said, Lord, I just count that as a seed. I just count that as a seed. He didn't get angry, didn't get upset. He goes, I just count it as a seed. And things would happen, and it wouldn't affect him. He would just keep going. Why? Because he's not moved by that. He's not moved by that. And there was another church in that same week, he's like, God, you meet all our needs. You take care of us. It was a church that had, I think, about 125 people in it. And the offering was $100,000. And so it's just like, God meets my need. I'm not worried. He never did it for offerings. We go to some churches with 20 people in it. We go to some churches with 15,000. It didn't matter. He didn't do it for the money. He did it to follow God and to bring the word of faith, because he knew the word that changed his life could change someone else's life. So I'm grateful that I got to see, and that's what I saw on the road with him behind closed doors. I saw the same man that was behind in the pulpit. I saw him behind closed doors, and he was a man of word, in his word, in conduct, in love, in spirit, in faith, in purity. It didn't matter what was happening. He was always in a stand on the word of God and in the love of God. Man, go ahead and show that first video.
The Lord has instructed me to give Jerry Savelle an opportunity to share some of the things that he's learned in this with you today. Jerry?
Okay. Praise the Lord. I might start with when I first got turned on to Jesus, I began to realize immediately that in order to fellowship with God and to develop a Christian life, a spiritual life with Christ, that I was going to have to learn how to pray, And I'd already made up my mind that I was going to live by faith. I didn't know too many people doing that, but I'd made up my mind that's the way I was going to live. The Word said the just shall live by faith, and I decided that's the way I'm going to live. So I found in the Word of God that in 1 John 5:14 and 15, it says that if we ask anything according to His will, we know that He hears us. And if we know that He hears us, we know we have the petitions that we've desired of Him.
Amen.
Well, the thing that I saw right quick was that's where most Christians got hung up. They knew that if they prayed in line with God's will, it'd be done. But half the Christians didn't know what God's will was for the situation. Well, I found that God's word is His will. And when I'd have my back up against the wall, I'd find the answer to it in the word and then present that to God instead of the problem. Well, that immediately put 1 John 5:14 and 15 into my consciousness, and I knew that if I ask anything according to His will, He heard me. And the 15th verse says, if I know He hears me, then I know I have the petitions that I've desired of Him. So that's a cinch. Praise the Lord.
For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. So stand, therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherein you are able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Amen? Amen.
Nobody knows the trouble I've seen.
Brother Copeland said, "What is that boy doing?" He never knew what Brother Jerry was going to do, but Brother Jerry knew how to hear God and put an illustration that would go all around the world to minister to anybody about a certain subject, whether it's your armor, or whether it was the canoe, it doesn't matter what it was. He knew what to do and he knew what to say. And Brother Copeland really never knew what he was going to do. Amen. Well, you know, like Justin said, we can hear Brother Jerry's voice just in looking at different things, hearing different things. I mean, you know, today with all of our methods, if you want to see Brother Jerry, all you got to do is pull up YouTube, go to Victory Channel. I mean, it doesn't matter what you do, you can see him. And I was sitting there, and of course, you know, all of us are strong. We have our weak, we have our strong, we have our sad parts, we have our happy parts. But we've been strong because we know exactly what he's doing. He fulfilled his own word. Progressing, okay, promotion, highest level of expectation. Oh my gosh, what can I say? And in one of my notes, now, I've been with Brother Jerry 43 years in the ministry, but I've been with Brother Jerry 77 years because we're 14 days apart and our moms carried us at the same time. Amen. Kind of like John the Baptist and Jesus, you know. Anyway, getting on back. So when I hear a statement, I can think of him just automatically. And my first image is, I went back to all my notes because I take notes every time he preaches. And I do three levels. What's the word say? First one. And then any word comes up, I put them in there. And then quotes, put them in there. And then references. So I've got three things to where if you ask me, what do you minister here? I can tell you because I know what scriptures he used. I know what quotes he used. And I always loved Brother Jerry's quotes because I knew if he quoted it, he heard God, and sometimes it was just going to go all over the world. God of the breakthrough. Went all over the world. God of the breakthrough. Amen? Went all over the world. Satan can't steal your joy. Before we even went into nations, they would already never met us before, but we know it's because Satan can't steal your joy. So when I was looking at my notes the other day to pull up what my part was, then I started looking at them, and I pulled up one, and it was not too long ago, and right at the end, and we were in the plane, and I said, "Brother Jerry, I got the 3 points, but one I didn't get." And I said, "So what was it?" And so he got his notes out, and he said, "Well, the fourth one or third one was this." And he said, "But Joe, if you can just see what I can see, come on, if you could just see what he could see, even today for you and for me, amen." Now, I'm going to put my glasses on because I got to put it as it gave to me, okay? What I did is, like Justin said, we can hear Brother Jerry. Amen? We can hear him. And I went back to the first time me and Joyce ever came, 43 years ago. And the Cree scripture back then when he shared it with us was 1 John 5:4. "For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith." And he never let that scripture, it always stayed one of the key scriptures he used. And then I started putting these things together. And I'm sitting there way before I knew what Justin had planned for today. And I'm just going in and pulling up quotes and different sayings and different things that really meant something special even to me when I was hearing it for maybe the first time. And so I'm going to read you some of them. You'll be familiar with them. But he didn't say them just to one person. He said them to the world because God said them to him. And it always goes back to the word, leading of the Holy Spirit. He'd always tell us, I've already prayed in the Spirit this whole meeting before we ever go in and do our meeting. And then it was inspected on us to pray in the Holy Spirit to know what our part of that meeting was. And Justin's been there. The guys that travel, I mean, Eric, Tony, anybody else that's traveled with us. So here's where we're going, okay? If you can only see it, if you can only see what I see, Lord, show me your glory. Shun the very appearance of evil. With God, nothing's impossible, only believe. Pray in the Spirit like never before. Paul said, I pray more than y'all, and Brother Jerry's told me that quite a few times. Mainly when he'd see my mouth wide open, I'm asleep on the plane, okay? And we all have a little joke on that, but Eric ain't telling it. This is my receiving day and yours. Hey, stay obedient to the word. Stay focused for the future God has for you and his promises. Stay speaking the word only and act upon it. I'll be back. Hey, get ready. Get ready, because, hey, one of these days he is coming back. Big white horse, but he is coming back, okay? I'll be back. Don't quit. Just sow a seed. And how many know that wasn't talking about money? We're talking about a seed maybe for an office over where you're going to give food away. And you're going to see everybody changed. Sow a seed. Keep and put God's word first place in your life. Fly, fly, fly. And I got to say, the other day when we had our chapel for the staff and we were celebrating his life, I played a clip called Angel Flight. You can pull it up on YouTube. Don't do it now. You pull it up on YouTube, and it's about bringing our soldiers back home. Brother Jerry was military. But when I played it, I was sitting there, and when the plane started coming, I said, fly, fly, fly. You'll always remember that. Why? He flew, flew, flew. And his last flight, oh, it was above a Falcon 50. It was above a Falcon 900. It was way more. When I watched that little angel, the angel flight, I said, Lord, that was good, but what did you come with? And then I knew Brother Jerry was riding the fastest chariot in heaven. And I know his dad helped him soup it up. So there's nothing like it in heaven now. Because when Brother Jerry and Uncle Jerry got through, it was the fastest one up there. Go ye, and I never heard God say stop ye. The JSMI team, and their guys will know this, we go to complete, not compete. Every time we go to anywhere, the things Justin was talking about, one word he told us, flow. Just flow. Whether it went right or wrong, just flow. And he always told us, when you go into a church, don't put a heavy burden on them. Let them know we're a blessing from God that's come to minister to them. Amen? All right. Stay in faith. Remain focused on God's word. Don't allow distractions to affect you or change your calling or your assignment. Bridge the gap. When I first came, Brother Jerry said, now, Joe, we don't do a lot of churches at first. We do more conventions. And I said, why? And he said, well, our ministry is to bridge the gap between the local church and the traveling ministry. And I never forgot that. And then I never forgot the part, because we would go places where there were heavy demands put on the pastor, especially in a big convention. We were in a big convention one time, and I'm like, Pastor Justin, I'm not going to say where or who, but we were in a large convention, and so we went in, So when we got through doing our parts, Brother Jerry ministered, I ministered, and we were getting ready to leave the next day, and the pastor came up and he said, "You guys are so easy to take care of." And I said, "Well, that's what God wants it to be." And he said, "Well, pray for me, because the next one coming in has 32 people with him, and there's nothing easy about his ministry." And I thought right then, I didn't agree. I just said, "Lord, look at the two differences. One was easy, one was hard. God said for us to make easy and be a light everywhere we go. You're the light of the world. Remember, go ye." And I like what our has, just give them Jesus.
The world is on a negative stream. The end thereof is destruction. When a man is born into this world, he begins to live like the world. He's spiritually dead. He can't help it. And so he's following this negative stream. And the only thing that can turn his boat around is good news, the gospel. When a man is converted, that's exactly what happens. He turns around. Amen. When you're converted, you go another direction. And so what happens is you're going downstream, following the rest of the world, living like they live. But thank God the Bible says faith cometh by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And someday, somewhere, you finally hear the good news. And the moment you hear that you can be saved and that you can become a new creation, you can be delivered from that negative stream that you've been following. You can be delivered from a destiny of hell. Then faith arises on the inside of you. But you cannot turn that thing around just by wanting to, just by agreeing that that would be the thing to do. You have to put forth some effort. And it's like having to get the paddle out of the bottom of the canoe. Did you notice going downstream in a canoe, you really don't have to paddle all that much, because the stream, the force of the stream will carry you its direction. But the moment you make the decision that you're going to make Jesus Lord, you're going to live by God's word, you have to get that paddle out of the bottom of the canoe and start turning this thing around. And I want you to notice that it's not easy to turn a boat around when it's going downstream. And you finally get it at about this angle, and you're at a 90 degree angle with the stream, and this is perfect position for shipwreck. You got the stream beating up against your ship, and it's hard to get that thing around. And here you're thinking, "Dear God, can you ever get it around? This stuff's hard. I can't do it." And you throw your paddle down, and your canoe gets turned around. You love God, but you're living like the world. You're sad, depressed. Brother Hagin comes to town. Teaches you can have what you say. You hear about his meeting. You paddle into his seminar. And brother, he goes to preaching. You come alive and you think, "Dear God, I'm going to live this way." And you start turning that thing around. And here you go again, 90 degree angle with a stream. But this time you said, "I can have what I say. I can have what I say. I'm going to get this thing turned around in the name of Jesus." Hallelujah. Got it. Don't quit paddling now if you do. Amen. You finally get this thing turned around here, and the stream's beating up against your ship, and all the trash and everything's coming your way, and you can see all them obstacles. Obstacles, like Charles Capp says. Here comes the obstacles. And you're thinking, "Dear God, that thing's headed right for my ship. Dear Lord, ain't no way you can do this. My God, I'm gonna die." And all the time you're operating in fear, nobody's paddling. Your boat gets turned around. You still love God, still going to heaven, but you're living like the world. Brother Copeland comes to town. Tells you how to get this thing upstream and keep it there. "Dear God, I like that." And you get it going upstream. Here comes the obstacles. But you're thinking, "No, I'm not moved by what I see. I'm not moved by what I feel. I'm not moved by what I hear." And the obstacles pass you by. Hallelujah. And you make it. Hallelujah. And you're headed upstream here. And you're thinking, "Dear God, you can do it. It ain't the easiest thing I've ever done, but you can do it."
And most of the time, it starts off with a little woman. She's up here paddling this thing, and her old man sitting in the back there don't believe nothing. He's griping at her, fussing. Why don't you just let life be? You fouling up everything by trying to go that way. You're shaking the table, I'm losing my beer. Everything was running smooth going the other way. And then you get religion. What's all this trash up here in the boat? Copeland tapes. Who's Copeland? Where'd you get all them books? You've been spending my money. I don't work like I work to have you spend it on somebody's book. What do they know about life? Bless God, this is life. And she's trying to paddle this thing, and he's getting to her. Finally, she says, I can't take it anymore. I'm going to bust him in the head. All the time she's busting him in the head with her oar, nobody's paddling. Strife will turn your boat around, folks. And then she gets condemned. Fred Price comes to town. He's preaching on the love of God, how to win your husband. Dear God. Gets this thing turned around. Headed upstream. Her old husband's still fussing and a-griping, and she just turns around there and says, love never fails. Things which are seen are subject to change. That means you, Jack. Hallelujah. Amen. Just keeps a-paddling, praise God.
Woo, let the church say amen. Hallelujah. Man, what an amazing journey. You know, I can say 25 years ago, I walked through these doors here. Pastor Justin and I attended Bible school here. I came to learn about God. I can't say I came to learn about the Word because I didn't even know God was the Word at that time. That's how green I was. Little did I know, coming through those doors would totally revolutionize my life. There was something waiting on the inside here that I had no idea. And I'm so grateful that God chose the man of God that he chose to plant into my life. Like everybody in here, I had history. No, I had history. Okay? So it was going to take a man like Dr. Savelle to get my attention. I want to say I'm so grateful to Miss Carolyn. She stayed on Dr. Savelle about going to a sermon. And see, for me, that's where my opportunity of change begun, was because she told him, you have to go see this preacher. And if this one doesn't work, then I'll never ask you again. And that's where the Lord caught the big mouth bass. He hooked him. I'm so grateful to Jerry Ann and to Terry, sacrificing their dad to the world. I can't say I know how they felt. I couldn't even imagine. But I know they, to the last day, supported him in what he did. Through all of their trials and struggles, they stood for him. I'm reminded of the first time that he came to me and he says, Tony, what are you doing after service? And I said, nothing, sir. He said, would you like to go to ORU with me? He took me to the house that Oral Roberts built. And that was my first planting of opportunity that I had to spend all these years with him. To everybody, Dr. Saville was somebody. If he wasn't somebody to you, I'm sorry, you missed it. He was the most humblest man that I've ever met. He was beyond a huge giver. He was a life changer. He was the answer to prayer. He was someone that everybody wanted to be like. I thought about how could I describe Dr. Saville? As ministers, we have this saying, they may only be the Jesus that we know. Not putting him on a pedestal, but he was Jesus to me.
Amen.
I'm not asking him to be that to you, but that's what he was to me. He was the most consistent, loving individual. As Pastor Justin said, I don't care if it was 10 people or if it was 10,000, he was the same. I got a chance to see probably what a lot of people didn't get a chance to see, and that was him in his natural. And he was a funny man. He was a funny man. I'm reminded of a time that we were in Australia, and he and I were sitting, and he was having a cappuccino. And we looked up, and here comes this guy about 6'4", 300 pounds, in a diaper with a thimble in his mouth and a baby cap on roller skates. And right at that time, he had just taken a drink. So you can imagine what happened to the drink. You know, that was, I mean, just things would happen. He and I had this saying, well, I had this saying, I'm a business owner. And what him and Miss Carolyn taught me how to do was sow. I've always said that if you wanted what they had, do what they do. So often people comment and criticize and judge, but you don't know what he went through to become who he is. I had the privilege of being with him in good times and hard times. Like Pastor Justin said, I saw him face adversity, face on. And there were many times that I said, let me see how he's going to handle this. Man, he blew my mind. He never changed, never changed. And to me, he was Elijah. I remember in 2016 being at Pastor Carla's church in Kenya. I woke up at 4:30 in the morning. The Lord awakened me and told me that my mom had a generational curse going on in her life. What did I do? Because he had taught me, plant a seed. I met him for breakfast. I planted a seed. I was up that morning reading out of 1 Kings about Elijah and Elisha. Never in 1,000 years would I expect, when we got to Pastor Carlos' church, he preached on Elijah and Elisha. He called me out of the crowd, and he took his jacket off, and he cloaked me. The Lord told me, this day you have received a transference. I can say this, that I lived my life to serve Dr. Saville and Miss Carolyn. Amen. That was my call. I came to school not with the intent to be a pastor, a preacher, teacher, prophet, or an apostle. But the anointing of his life resonated on me because association. We had a saying often that we would go on a trip and I would rub shoulders with him. And business was good every time I did it. You'll catch that in a minute. And I would like to say that there was a phase that he cloned in ministry. And what he said was, "That's what I do, man. That's what I do." Elisha prayed to God about Elijah. And every time Elijah told Elisha that he was going on an assignment, Elisha told him, "You're not going to leave me. I told Dr. Seville, you're not going to leave me." What was it that I asked Dr. Seville for? I wanted a double portion of his anointing.
Come on. It's good.
He was precious. And I'm so grateful for the 25 years that I had to serve him. My life has been totally changed. Amen. The law of progression, I was that knucklehead in that boat trying to turn it around. And every time the stream would come, it would angle me off. But one day, everybody say one day. My life was totally revolutionized. I stand here today celebrating the man of God that totally influenced, changed, and made me be who I am today. I went to my kids and I apologized to them for being a horrible father. It wasn't always about talking, but it was about watching and listening. I learned so much from him by watching him and listening to him.
Thank you, Lord.
And I say to the family, thank you. I say to the ministry, thank you. Amen. I would never be who I am today had it not been for that blessing.
That's right.
That the Lord blessed me. Thank you very much.
It says, enter his presence with thanksgiving and praise. And thanksgiving and praise are products of joy. Are you still here? It takes joy. In other words, the same principle, give and it shall be given. You got to give some joy to God before he can fill you with joy. Amen. You manifest some joy in his presence and he'll manifest some in yours. Praise God. Once again, it's the same thing as Brother Copeland taught us from Isaiah 40. You exchange your strength for his. That's like taking a 6-volt battery and getting a dynamo in replace. Huh? He said, I said these things that my joy might remain in you. And not only that, and that your joy might be full. So Jesus has in mind that every one of his followers ought to be full of joy. I said, every believer ought to be full of joy. Every believer ought to be full of joy.
Amen.
Turn around and look at your neighbor and say, if you'd spend more time with Jesus, you'd be full of joy. Amen. Now notice. He said, these things have I spoken unto you that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Jesus wants us to be full of joy because he knows it takes a full tank of joy to defeat the devil.
Amen.
I mean, you're not going to beat the devil running around on a half a tank of joy. Amen. You can just get so far on a half a tank of joy. You can't go from Los Angeles to Fort Worth in your 1985 Ford LTD on a half a tank of gas. You'll just get so far. Amen. You're not going to get through life's journeys on a quarter of a tank of joy. Huh? You know what I mean by that? From church service to church service. Some of you don't know what joy is until the doors of this convention open. Hello? Amen. Some of you ain't had any joy since last Anaheim convention. And listen, some of you come dragging in here at the beginning of this meeting thinking, dear God, I'm ready for a convention. And look at you now. Now you're standing up and say, woo, I got it now. Amen. Well, you missed a whole lot of victories from last convention to now. Jesus wants you full of joy. Some of you, you only have it when you go to church sometimes. But he said, I want you to be full of joy. And then he also revealed to us that Satan is a thief, that he comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. And he revealed to us in Mark chapter 4 that the sower soweth the word, and Satan cometh immediately. Say immediately.
Immediately.
Say immediately.
Immediately.
Turn and look at your neighbor and say, the devil comes immediately.
Immediately.
Turn around and look at your other neighbor and say, he don't wait for a month. He comes immediately.
Immediately.
He said, once the word is sown, Satan cometh immediately. Now, why is it the devil wants to steal the word? Because Jesus said right here, what I say contains joy. And the devil realizes if he can get the word out of your heart, he can also get the joy out of your heart. Because without the words of Jesus, there is no joy.
Amen.
There is no joy outside the words of Jesus.
Amen.
And if the devil can get the word out of your heart, then he won't have any problem taking your joy out, because the word is what produced the joy. And if he pulls the word out, the joy is hooked right on the end of the word. You won't have any joy. And if you don't have any joy, then you're left weak. And you won't be able to resist his attacks. And if you don't resist him, he can't flee or won't flee. Amen. You see, what a lot of people have failed to realize, if we put so much emphasis on faith, and faith is important, don't misunderstand me. We've had to emphasize faith. But sometimes we've overly emphasized it and forgot some things about the other forces that God uses to assist faith and make it work properly. And one of them is joy. The Lord showed me this. He said, faith is like dynamite. It's explosive. It'll blow away mountains. It'll blow away the impossible. It'll blow away disease. It'll blow away poverty. However, if it don't have a fuse on it, it won't blow away anything. And the fuse to your faith is joy. Amen. It's joy. There's a lot of people going around just making confessions. And thank God we need to confess God's word. But a lot of people don't have any joy in their confessions. In fact, what they've done, they're not really operating spiritually. It's mechanically now. They just walk around like a bunch of robots. I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. My God shall supply all my need according to his riches in glory. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Huh? Somebody says, what are you doing there, brother? I'm releasing my faith. No, you're not. A confession of faith never has a question mark on the end of it. It has exclamation marks. Hallelujah. If there's no joy behind your confession is empty, idle, and non-productive. Amen. You can teach a parrot to confess those scriptures. That don't mean he's got joy. Huh? He don't know any better. All he knows is, Polly want a cracker? Polly want a cracker? My God supplies all my cracker. You know, he don't know. Amen. Jesus said, I said all this so that my joy would remain in you and that your joy would be full. And then he revealed to us, now there's a thief that's going to try to steal your joy. And remember over there in John 16, he says, And ye now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice, and your joy no man taketh from you. Now, he's not implying that, you're just going to sit here like a bump on a log and nobody can get your joy. He's implying you're going to have to protect it. I'm giving it to you, but you're going to have to hold on to it.
Good morning, church.
Good morning.
You know what? I needed to laugh with Brother Jerry this morning. I don't know about you, but I wasn't ready for him to go to heaven. I thought we're near the same age. I'm 75. He's 77. And I thought we would have 10, 15 more years together. And when Miss Carolyn called me, I was in Dillard's looking for something to wear to the president's cabinet meeting. And I had to have her repeat it. I just couldn't take it in. And then they graciously led me to a place where I could sit down. I was shaken. I was trembling. I haven't had a reaction like that since my husband went to heaven in 2012. I was not prepared for this. In the sense of I was not anticipating it. And it's okay to feel human emotion. I want you to know that God has given us emotions. Now, they're to be regulated by the Holy Spirit. Thank you, dear. Regulated by the Holy Spirit. We don't lose our position of faith. In fact, we're not to be moved by whatever happens on earth. In other words, throw in the towel and say, this doesn't work. When a person of consequence in your life departs, you are going to feel it. It is going to matter in your life. And so I was really shaken. I was born again in 1978. And I tell you, it was life transforming. I never was a partier. I don't have Tony's testimony or anybody's. You would have thought I was saved, but I wasn't. And there was plenty the Lord needed to change in me. And it's a long, good story of how I came into the ministry. But I came as a school teacher in Dr. Savelle's Christian school. Had no clue I was called to the ministry. But he saw something. And he told Wade, tell Carla I want her to go on the road with us. You remember, Brother Joe, those days we traveled a lot. And sowed seed all over the United States, and a teaching gift began to be developed and periodically used by Brother Jerry, and eventually he sent my late husband and me to Kenya, and a ministry was established there that thrives to this day. And Brother Jerry, I want to make the point, was of consequence and is of consequence in my life. I feel his departure deeply on behalf of his family and on behalf of all of us who came into the ministry because of Brother Jerry. And I feel it deeply. I'm telling you, the whole world is affected by his departure. Kenya is the first nation he preached the gospel in outside the United States. And Brother Jerry went to many African countries and countries in all the continents. And I know we're deeply affected today in this church, but the whole world is deeply affected by this man of consequence. I loved Brother Jerry. I knew him, Joe, you said 43 years in ministry. Of course, you're his first cousin. My late husband, Wade, was Brother Joe and Brother Jerry's first cousin. And this is family. You're going to mourn the loss of family. You're going to miss the presence of family. Church, it's okay. I've shed tears, and it's okay to shed tears. We're not moved from our position of faith, but it's okay to shed tears. And so this man of consequence changed my life. And he changed the life of his generation and beyond. So by Friday, a scripture came to me that is very precious. And it's Psalm 116:15. If you would put it up on the screen. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints. I can still feel shaken today. I feel shaken today. I'm rejoicing. I needed to laugh over Brother Jerry's great sermons that had such humor. I mean, I needed this today. But by Friday, this scripture came up in my heart. And do you see that word precious? It's very consequential. Brother Jerry was a man of great consequence. This word is a word of great consequence. May I have one of those, please? Thank you, dear. This word precious is very important. You think that it's a sweet word, precious. Oh, how precious. Oh, how precious. But no, it's a very important word. Church, it means rare. The root meaning of this word precious means rare. Think of the crown jewels of Great Britain. Kenya was a British colony. So the British, the Queen, we adored the Queen. We adored Prince Charles. We adored the royal family. I drink tea every day. I have my morning tea and so forth. I became quite British during the decades I lived in Kenya. And I was reminded when this word precious, and I began meditating on it, how fantastic the crown jewels of the British Empire are. And when you look at the crowns and the scepters and the jewelry of royalty, and I haven't studied, but I've certainly seen documentaries on this, and the rarity of the huge diamonds and sapphires and pearls and emeralds and all that goes into the crown jewels. These are not just any jewels, they are precious jewels. That means they are rare jewels. In fact, in the crown jewels, you're just not going to find anything to compare with them. They are called rare jewels. And this word precious, now I want you to think of it in light of Brother Jerry and what happened in his life after he received the Lord. In the Lord's sight, precious is the death of his saints, because that saint opened their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. Not everyone on earth is born again. Not everyone on earth. Actually, the unbelievers outnumber the believers, but we're here to change that. Hallelujah. And so, Brother Jerry, I want you to think of this word rare in light of Brother Jerry's life and the impact that his life had was rare. He impacted the whole world. Now, think what he did with his life. I'm looking at him. I actually knew him when he had plenty of dark hair, and he wore it. I was in those meetings you've just seen, and he wore it kind of longish. We were a lot younger then. Hallelujah. But think to bring him to the magnitude of impacting the world. It is rare. The person who opens their life, think of the preciousness of God pouring his love throughout the years in Brother Jerry's heart, pouring in wisdom, pouring in revelation, pouring in knowledge and understanding, pouring in the compassion of God, pouring in the love of God, and all that gave Brother Jerry such a great heart and ministry that we can acknowledge today. He impacted the whole world. I can remember when I was in Africa, living in Africa, we didn't have cell phones. We could hardly make a call. Our lines were leftover equipment that Great Britain sent to us after they used it all up. And if you could get a call out of the country, it was really something. When they would have a believers' convention, if just one of us, forgive us, Brother Copeland, but if, and we usually got a set of tapes of the convention into the country. I mean, we made copies and they went everywhere. If somebody in Africa got a set of believers' convention tapes, I mean, you had something more valuable than gold. And the word just went everywhere out of those believers' conventions. Oh, how precious was the word of God that God poured into Brother Jerry's heart, and it went throughout the world. I want you to know that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints because of what Brother Jerry allowed the Lord to do in his life. And I tell you, it just compels me to ask the Lord, Lord, do more in me. Do more in me. I want to carry on this heritage and this legacy that I came into the ministry through. In fact, church, I want to give you a challenge, and there are so many wonderful ministers here today that I love to sit under and love to hear your teaching. Let's take up the challenge that Brother Jerry has gone to heaven. We'll do more than we've ever done. We'll do more than we've ever done before. You know, we're not discouraged. We're not faint-hearted. I feel the fact that, you know, he's not here. I'm going to miss him. And I'm still teary, and I may be teary for a while. Is that okay if I'm teary for a while? But church, I'm going to redouble my efforts, and I challenge each one of you. We're going to carry this legacy forward. We're not going to let this word fall to the ground. Hallelujah. But the call of God on this ministry will go forth, and it will be multiplied. It will be multiplied. In the name of Jesus. I feel it, but I'm not faint-hearted. I feel it, but I'm not discouraged. Church, I feel his passing, but if anything, I'm more passionate. And I just encourage each one of you to take hold of the Word of God and say, Father, what else do you want me to do? I'm going to be faithful to the end. We owe Brother Jerry so much because of what he allowed the Lord to do in his heart. And I'm going to say how precious it is because his family made such a sacrifice for him to affect the whole world. They had to let him go time after time after time. And they loved, Carolyn loves her husband. Jerry Ann and Terry loved their father. Their grandchildren loved him. But they sent him out into the world time and time and time again. Precious. Because it's rare for a man of God or a woman of God to allow God to pour into them and then be used by the Lord, that they would have the testimony, the whole world has been affected. Church, I had more to say, but I think I got stuck on one point. Let me move to 2 Peter 1:11. I know I've been letting the Lord give me imaginations about 2 Peter 1:11. For so an abundant entrance will be supplied to you. Abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I know that Brother Jerry abundantly entered the kingdom of God, his eternal resting place in glory. I know it was an abundant entrance. And so many, including my husband, all Joe and Brother Jerry and my late husband's family, so many of them are there, and so on and so forth. So many believers have gone before him. All the men who greatly influenced his life, except Brother Copeland, an abundant entrance was granted to him. Church, I want you to take on a mentality. I mean, this is what I'm purposing to do. I'm taking on a mentality of abundance. Amen. Amen. That I will finish my course abundantly. Amen. What did Brother Jerry preach so much to us about? Abundance. I mean, this was one of his key preaching and points of revelation. I'm taking on an attitude of abundance that I'm going to abundantly finish my race. Hallelujah. I thank God for Dr. Jerry Savelle and the abundant inheritance he's left all of us today. Hallelujah.
Once again, in the world you will have tribulation, trials, and distress and frustration. But be of good cheer, take courage, be confident, be certain, undaunted, for I have overcome the world, listen to this, and I have deprived it of its power to harm you. I have deprived it of its power to harm you. What is Jesus saying? Yes, you will have challenges. Yes, you will have tests. Yes, you will be engaged in battle, but be of good cheer. I have deprived every test, every trial, every challenge of its right and its ability to overcome and conquer you. Hallelujah. What is he telling us? You've been called to battle, but you've been destined to win. And failure and defeat is not in your future. Hallelujah. You may be in the greatest battle right now you've ever been in your life. You may feel like you can't stand anymore. You've done all you know to do, and yet you don't see anything working in the natural. That is always an indication you got the devil right where you want him. He has just fired his best shot. You're still standing, and you're going to win. Hallelujah. Come on, give the Lord a shout of praise. Amen. I've been there. I know. Hallelujah. I've been there many times. I've been at the place where I felt like I couldn't stand anymore. But I refuse to say out of my mouth, I can't take anymore. I can't take anymore. I'd rather cuss than say that. And I don't cuss. For me to say I can't take anymore is to slap Jesus in the face and say, your blood didn't work. The cross didn't work. Calvary didn't work. It did work. And I can take anything the devil can dish out. Hallelujah. Amen. Don't ever say again, I can't take anymore. You can take anything the devil can dish out. You're not a worm. You're the righteousness of God. You're not a loser. You're a winner. Hallelujah. The blood of Almighty God flows through your veins. You're a champion in Christ. Now shut up the whining, get out of that pity party, pick yourself up, and tell the devil, I declare a state of war. Hallelujah. Woo! Glory. Glory.
What a man of God. I love him. Whew. One of the scriptures I had to bring up for today was Philippians 4:13. I have strength for all things in Christ who empowers me. I am ready for anything and equal to anything through him who infuses inner strength into me. I am self-sufficient in Christ's sufficiency. I love that man. When we moved here, we pulled into our house on February 11, 2019, and we had no idea what God had in store for us, but we knew it would be amazing. We knew it. We were expecting the extraordinary. And when Dr. Savelle called us into his office and said, what are you guys doing here? We just looked at him and said, well, we thought maybe you would tell us. And he said, I think I know, but I'm not going to tell you yet. And we all just started laughing. And boy, it's been extraordinary. We were sitting in a service at Southwest. We were living in Michigan at the time, and we had brought our young adults to Southwest for the week, for the Believers Conference. And we were sitting, I think it was the first service, and I'd have to look back in my notes, and we were sitting there during pre-service prayer. And before the first speaker, and the first speaker was going to be Dr. Savelle. And we were sitting there during pre-service prayer, and just as I'm speaking to you right now, I heard God say to me, and this was back like, I don't, 2015 maybe, 16, we didn't know him personally. We were just sitting there, and I heard God say to me, you are favorites. Like, that's where we lived. And then the next speaker up was Dr. Savelle. And it just, you know how your hearts are just linked to somebody? It was like that. I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful over the past week. You know, you go through all the emotions, as I'm sure you all have. And but you can't stop being so grateful. And that's what brings you out every time. It's like you can't not be happy because you're so grateful you knew him. You're so grateful to have learned what he knew. And I'm so, so grateful. I'm so grateful he took us in when we got here and began to teach us and train us. I think one of the biggest things that I will take with me, I mean, we've heard it 100 times, but he and Miss Carolyn live to give. They're so others focused, you know? They're ceaseless sowing, giving, because giving is their love language. That's how they love, is they'll give, you know? And they taught me, he taught me so much about sowing. What a giver. You know, his last morning, he called into the office and had accounting send an offering to somebody. To his very last day. That's just who he is. You know, I think of the verse that Pastor Justin talks about a lot, to all of us, about how David, in Acts, it says David served his generation. And he, Dr. Savelle, served his generation. He gave his life to us. It blessed my heart this morning as I talked with people here at church this morning. Did you know there's people serving in kids this morning because they thought that was the best way they could honor him, is by serving today? We had so many greeters that wanted to greet today because they wanted to serve in honor of him. That's what I plan on doing with my life, serving God and serving others. You know, Dr. Savelle was so others-focused that you couldn't hold the door for him. He was going to hold the door for you. You couldn't ask him to leave the elevator first. He would be the last one out of the elevator. You would want to honor him, but he would honor you. He just loved us. He was such an example of love and serving and giving. And I love him.
I'm so thankful today to have been here the last 5 years. And like Nikki said, we didn't know why we were here when we came, but he's been many things to many people. And there's been people that have known him personally longer than us. But for me, he was a boss, a mentor, a father, and also a friend. And I miss him. He's the closest thing to Jesus of anyone that I've ever met. And that says a lot. And there's a lot that you know, things that we could say, but I just want to share two stories. Just months after we got here, I went on my first missions trip with Dr. Savelle and Brother Joe, and I have a picture of that. And Miss Carolyn called us the Three Musketeers. And I'm sharing this story for Miss Carolyn because we flew over to Ghana, and we were to go from Ghana to Kenya, then down to South Africa. And so we were on our leg from Ghana to Kenya. It's a night flight. And I was sitting by Dr. Savelle in the window, and then he was sitting on the aisle, and then Brother Joe was on the other aisle. And it was funny because when we posted this picture, people from all over the world were saying, "Where do I get one of those Adidas jumpsuits?" It became a thing. So anyway, it's a night flight, and so I went to sleep. You know, that's what people do at night. And I wake up, and I look out the window, and there's lightning on this side. And I look out the other window, and there's lightning on that side. And I go, "Wow, look at that lightning." And Dr. Savelle, you know, he'd always kind of kid me and pick on me a little bit. He goes, "Yeah, it's a good thing that me and Joe are here. We've been praying in tongues for the last 2 hours while you've been asleep." And so I played along and I said, "So I'm like one of those disciples that couldn't pray for just 1 hour." So then I got back, you know, from that trip, and thank God for Miss Carolyn, because I told her the story. I said, you know, I was asleep and there was lightning on both sides of the plane. And, you know, Dr. Savelle said, you know, it was a good thing that he and Joe were there because they prayed in tongues. And I said, "I couldn't even pray an hour, Miss Carolyn." She goes, "Or you were like Jesus, asleep in the boat and at peace." And I said, "Yeah, that's what it is." So thank God for moms. Love you, Miss Carolyn. And then the next trip that was so significant for Dr. Savelle was when that plane manifested in 2020, a 20-year dream. He was so excited to get to take it internationally. And we had been in the Falcon 50, you know, domestically, but now it was time to take it over the pond, as they say. And so our first leg was from DFW to Gander, Nova Scotia. And we got up in the air and we had a nice tailwind. We were going 620 miles an hour. It was a 5-hour flight that we did in 4 hours. And the pilots would always joke about, that, hey, this leg of the flight, we have, it's going to be an hour and 55 minutes, but we think we can do it in an hour and 54 minutes. So that was a big deal. We made up an hour in the plane. And so we land in Gander. We spend the night. Now we're going to go from Gander to London. And we shot this video of Dr.
Hey, guys, we are leaving Gander. Had a good night here last night. Got to watch Kansas City win the ball game. Not sure all of you will be happy about that. But anyway, I got to watch that game last night. Nice hotel, warm room. And we're on our way to England today, 4.5-hour flight across the big pond. And we're looking forward to our next stop. Bless you guys. Bye-bye.
He was so excited. This was like years and years. You imagine how many of you believed for something for 20 years? Yeah. And now it's happening. I was just so honored to be with him. And so the next leg was from Gander to London. Now we're going from London to Cairo. And this marked my life. And this to me summed up Brother Jerry and what happened. As we were flying over, I've got a couple of pictures. These are the Swiss Alps. And we're flying over, and he looks at me. He goes, "You want a cappuccino?" I said, "Yes, sir." And there was a cappuccino machine on the plane, and he jokingly says that that's what sold him on the plane. So he would get up always, Brother Joe and Tony, and make us cappuccinos on the plane. And so he made us the cappuccino, and we're both sitting. Now we're standing, and we're looking out the window at that. Sipping on our cappuccinos, pinky fingers in the air. And he says this, "I never cease to be overwhelmed by the goodness of God." And the presence of God filled the cabin, and we both begin to thank God. We both were filled with joy. And that's how he lived his life. It wasn't just a song, it was his life. And that characterized his faith. The joy and the thanksgiving to God showed his faith. It wasn't just a confession. It showed who he was, that he lived this way. It was his life. And I'm so thankful and so grateful that I could be part of the last 5 years of what I consider the greatest preacher on the face of the earth. I want to leave you with this scripture today. This is what I believe that if he were standing here, he would say to all of us and to those that watch this all over the world. It's found in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 14 in the New Living Translation. It says, "But you," talking about you, "must remain faithful to the things you have been taught." We have been taught. This church especially, you've been taught all over the world. Churches that we've gone to, you've been taught. And it goes on to say, "And you know that these words are true. You know you can trust those who taught you." He had exhibited 55 years of a ministry of integrity, a ministry of faith, a ministry of thanksgiving and joy, and a ministry of giving. And so you know that you can trust in what he taught us, and you need to continue in it. That's what he would say to us today. Continue in it. So I want you to do this with me in honor of him. Would you stand with me today? He taught us to win. He taught us that this is the victory that overcomes the world, our faith. and that we're winners. And the things that for this year, he taught us to, number one, stay in faith. Number two, don't be distracted. Number three, stay focused on the promises. And so in honor of him, and I believe if we all imagine that he's looking down on us, with standing beside Jesus, looking down on us today, we put our hands over our hearts, raise our right hand. You know which hand is your right hand?
We got our right hand over our hearts.
Oh, right. Yeah. You know what I mean? Say this after me. I'll stay in faith.
I'll stay in faith.
I'll not be distracted.
I'll stay focused on the promises.
And I'll never quit. Look up and tell them, I'll never quit.
I'll never quit.
And here's what he would say to you with his left hand lifted. He would say, go for it. Go for it. Go for it. Everything that God has promised, go for it.
Once again, in the world, you will have tribulation, trials. Well, let me tell you about this fourth man. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Genesis, he's the seed of woman. In Exodus, he's the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. In Numbers, he's our pillar of cloud by day and pillar of fire by night. In Deuteronomy, he's the prophet likened to Moses. In Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, in Joshua, he's the captain of our salvation. In Judges, he's our judge and lawgiver. In Ruth, he's our kinsman and redeemer. In 1 and 2 Samuel, he's our trusted prophet. In 1 and 2 Kings and Chronicles, he's our reigning king. In Ezra, he's our faithful scribe. In Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of the broken down walls of human life. In Esther, he's our Mordecai. In Job, he's our ever-living redeemer. For Job said, I know my redeemer liveth. Hallelujah. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Psalms, he's our shepherd. In Proverbs and Ecclesiastes, he's our wisdom. In the Song of Solomon, he's our lover and bridegroom. In Isaiah, he's the Prince of Peace. In Jeremiah, he's the righteous branch. In Lamentations, he's the weeping prophet. In Ezekiel, he's the wonderful four-faced man. In Daniel, he's the fourth man in the fiery furnaces of life. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Hosea, he's the faithful husband. In Joel, he's the baptizer with the Holy Ghost. In Amos, he's our burden bearer. In Obadiah, he's the mighty to save. In Jonah, he's our foreign missionary. In Micah, he's the messenger with beautiful feet. In Nahum, he's the avenger of God's elect. In Habakkuk, he's God's evangelist. In Zephaniah, he's our savior. In Haggai, he's the restorer of God's lost heritage. In Zechariah, he's the fountain open in the house of David. In Malachi, he's the son of righteousness with healing in his wings. Hallelujah. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Matthew, he's the Messiah. In Mark, he's the wonder worker. In Luke, he's the son of man. In John, he's the son of God. In Acts, he's the Holy Ghost. In Romans, he's the justifier. In 1 and 2 Corinthians, he's the sanctifier. In Galatians, he's the redeemer from the curse of the law. In Ephesians, he's the Christ with unsearchable riches. In Philippians, he's the God that supplies all our needs. In Colossians, he's the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In 1 and 2 Thessalonians, he's our soon coming King. Hallelujah. Who is this fourth man? Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In 1 and 2 Timothy, he's the mediator between God and man. In Titus, he's our faithful pastor. In Philemon, he's the friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In Hebrews, he's the blood of the everlasting covenant. In James, he's our great physician. In 1 and 2 Peter, he's the chief shepherd. In 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he is love. In Jude, he's the Lord coming with 10,000 angels. Hallelujah. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. In the book of Revelations, he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Who is
this man that showed up in the fiery furnace? Who is this man that'll show up in every fiery furnace where you refuse to compromise? I'll tell you who he is. He's Abel's sacrifice. He's Noah's rainbow. He's Abraham's ram. He's Isaac's well. He's Jacob's scepter. He's Moses' rod. He's Joshua's sun and moon that stood still. He's Elijah's mantle. He's Elijah's staff. He's Gideon's fleece. He's Samuel's horn of oil. He's David's slingshot. He's Isaiah's feet poultice. He's Hezekiah's sundial. He's Daniel's visions. He's Amos' burden and Malachi. He's the son of righteousness. Who is this fourth man? I'll tell you who he is. He's Peter's shadow. He's Stephen's signs and wonders. He's Paul's handkerchiefs. He's John's pearly white city. Hallelujah. Who is this fourth man? Who is this fourth man that'll enter the fiery furnace when you dare to stand uncompromisingly? He's the father to the orphan. He's the husband to the widow. He's the traveler in the night that is traveling. He is the bright and morning star to those that are in the lonesome valley. He's the lily of the valley. He's the rose of Sharon. He's the honey in the rock. He's the brightness of God's glory. He's the express image of the person of God. He's the king of glory, the pearl of great price, the rock in a weary land, the cup that runneth over, the rod and the staff that comfort. He's the government of the lion, and our lives are upon his shoulder. Who is this fourth man? He's Jesus of Nazareth, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Father. So how do we honor him? We honor him today by reflecting, remembering. Not just remember as a person, but remembering revelations that he's deposited in the earth. If you have your Bibles, turn to Philippians, and I know we're getting close to 12, but there's just a couple more things I know just I need to be obedient to. Philippians chapter 4. Eric just gave us a scripture. How else can we honor? How can we honor a man who honored God and laid down his life for the gospel? Eric just brought it up in 2 Timothy 1. New King James says, be a pattern of sound words. Be a pattern of sound words which you heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. This is the Apostle Paul speaking. And the Apostle Paul is telling Timothy that after he goes and tell this and preach this to everyone, be a pattern of sound words which you've heard from me in faith and love which are in Christ Jesus. That good thing which is committed to you, keep by the Holy Spirit who dwells in us. Meaning, keep what the Holy Spirit has deposited through me into your life. Keep those things and be a pattern of those things. How can we honor Dr. Savelle? How can we carry on legacy? How can we carry on heritages when we're a pattern of the words, a pattern of faith, a pattern of love, a pattern of generosity, a pattern of servanthood, a pattern of surrender, a pattern of increase, a pattern of prosperity, a pattern of the glory of God, a pattern of the goodness of God, a vessel that God could flow through into a generation and bring them up to another level so they could live like Jesus, they could talk like Jesus and pursue and see people brought out of darkness into his marvelous light. We have to be that pattern. That's how we carry on. That's how we carry on legacy. That's how we can honor him. I know he would appreciate the kind words and appreciate the things that we're saying and talking about how he lived his life, but I believe how we can honor him on another level is if we are a pattern of what he taught and deposited into our lives. In Philippians 4, verse 6, it says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, praiseworthy things, meditate on these things. The things, now get this, the things which you learned and received and heard in Saul in Jesus. That's not what it said. The things which you learned and received and heard and Saul in me, these do. How can we honor a man of God like Dr. Savelle? The things that you've heard, the things that you've learned, the things that you've received, and the things that you saw in me, do. That's how we carry on legacy. That's how we honor the man of God. And I'll close with this, John chapter 13. John chapter 13. So none of us here today are trying to elevate Dr. Savelle to a position of Jesus. But at the same time, the word tells us to honor. To honor. So we honor him by remembering and reflecting. We honor him by holding to the pattern of sound words. We do it by taking the things that we've heard, received, and seen in him, and we do those things. And then here in John 13, and this is the story of Jesus washing the disciples' feet. You know, Dr. Savelle may have never washed your feet or didn't wash really probably any of our feet. But yet he washed our lives with the word. He served his generation with the word. And it says here, so when he had washed their feet, taken his garments and sat down again, he said to them, do you know what I've done to you? Verse 13 says, you call me teacher and Lord, and you say, well, for so I am. Now, we don't call him Lord, but we can call him teacher. Verse 14, if I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you all also wash one another's feet. For I have given you, listen to this, an example that you should do as I have done to you. Most surely I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them. I bring this out because what Dr. Savelle would want to do is I've taken the time, the study time, I've taken my life and I've deposited into your life. Now go affect someone else's life with it. Allow the influence that he had deposited on the inside of us that we would go and we would influence someone else's life with it. Just as Dr. Savelle, hey, God told me, go ye, he never said stop ye. Go into all the world and preach the gospel. So as what we can do to honor him is we go into our sphere of influence and we minister the gospel the way Dr. Savelle ministered the gospel to us. Amen. Amen. And that's how we are going to leave and carry on legacy and a heritage. So we celebrate a life well lived. We celebrate a life well lived. Bryn, Dylan, thank you for sowing your pawpaw to the world. Jerry Ann and Terry, thank you for sowing your daddy to the world. Miss Carolyn, thank you for sowing your husband to the world. Miss Carolyn messaged me this morning and she wanted me to let you know that she loves you. Wanted to let you all know that the first time that they're going to be sharing things publicly will be at the memorial service on Friday. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Lord, we just thank you for your peace that passes all understanding. Thank you for the comfort that comes from the Holy Spirit that's resting over the Savelle family right now. And we thank you for your comfort that's resting on every single one of us and all those that are watching today from all over the world that found, whether it be a mentor, a teacher, a father in the faith, a friend, no matter what it might be, that comfort by the Holy Spirit is taking place even now. In Jesus' name, amen. There's one last thing I'd like to do. It's in my heart to do. And they were doing this through JSMI Ministries because so many people have contacted us personally, the ministry, and want to know how can we send flowers? How can we do things? And really, they just want you to give into a memorial fund that will go to something that the Lord will direct them. And so, like I said, we've had people here asking, how can we be involved? And I want us to receive an offering. Not that the Savelles need an offering. It's just more about a memorial. It's more about in remembrance. Just like if you would send flowers to a funeral, it's more or less, this is what I'd like to do. And because they're seeking the Lord on what they'll end up doing with it. But an opportunity to honor him. Amen. And so if you're giving by way of text to give, you just do the amount, the memorial. If you're watching way by our website, you can, or if you're YouTube, you can go to our website and you can follow the give prompts. And there's one there that will say memorial offering. If you're giving by check, you can just put memorial on it and make it out to HFCC. And it'll all go towards that fund. And amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, Father. Thank you, Lord. What a great man. Did you enjoy today?
Amen.
Amen. And we'll continue. I know Annette and I would like to share more things that we learned from him, and there'll be time for that. And looking forward to hearing from the family as well. And thank you. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to sow as just an honor gift. You know, you say in your word, Lord, if someone had sowed something spiritual, how much more should we sow back into something of a material? So I know in the natural, Lord, there's nothing that I could do to pay for what I know I've received from God through this ministry. But Lord, I just thank you for just the ability just to be a part of just remembering legacy. And we thank you for all that will happen and take place and carry on as we fulfill the assignment on this ministry. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Ushers, you can receive the offering. Amen. Hallelujah. Danny, can you and the worship team come up? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. While they're receiving the offering, just want to give you just a couple updates. This coming Friday is the memorial service at 1:30. Make sure, is that the right time? 1:30? Just to make sure. And it's going to be at EMIC at 1:30. It's going to be very packed. There will be a lot of people coming in from all over to honor the Savelle family. And so because of that, and being at a great distance, we wanted to let you know that we're opening the church up on Friday, that you can come and you can watch it live together as a church family. And so just make yourself available to that. If you're not able to come up here and you're not able to go out there, or I might not be able to get a seat or so forth, encourage you can watch it anywhere. It will be on either KCM or EMIC's YouTube or Facebook pages. So once again, that's KCM or EMIC YouTube or Facebook pages. And so you can tune in at 1:30 and hear just as we be a part of this celebration of life. And I think fitting that on our way out today, that we end in a praise. Amen. We end praising the Lord.
Amen.
Amen. We end celebrating a life well lived. We celebrate a man who deposited great things into our lives. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I think we're on the last aisle there. So go ahead and stand to your feet. Sing praises. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father.